Hello, 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 hockey fans. Welcome to this week's episode of From the Press Box right here on the AHL Report. I am joined today, of course, by my fabulous co-host, Mr. Rick Stevens, who is the editor-in-chief and founder of Rocket Sports Media. I'm Amy Johnson, your host for today. I'm the lead correspondent here at the AHL Report. And Rick, it is the last episode of November already.
Wow. I'm going to have to get my Christmas list put together, I think.
I think so. It's probably overdue by now.
I'm kind of a last-minute kind of person, you know?
Are you now?
Yeah.
I still have Tim Hortons hockey cards on my list that no one has sent me yet. So, you know.
I got a pack for my birthday.
What's that? You got a pack for your birthday?
Yeah.
Somebody included a pack for your birthday. Wow.
Mm-hmm. PK Subban. Well,
nice. that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be an episode today.
It is.
Yeah, we've got a jam-packed show ahead, and I'm a combination of just feeling super like ragey, fired up today. Frustrated, fired up today, and devastatingly depressed today. So it should make for really, 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 really wild show. I'm depressed because
you are a huge Ron Hextall fan.
Well, that's not why I'm depressed, but we're going to talk about Ron Hextall today a little bit. No, if anyone who knows me knows that SpongeBob SquarePants is near and dear to my heart. I have been a SpongeBob SquarePants aficionado and fan since the first episode of the series. I own at least four seasons on DVD because everyone knows that after season 4 or 5, it went downhill as it got way too mass produced. Genius, genius animated creation by Steven Hillenburg, which, quite frankly, much akin to the classic Looney Tunes series, much of the humor in SpongeBob SquarePants was geared more towards the adults than the kids. A lot of it, I think, went right over the kids' heads. And creator Steven Hillenburg has passed away today, and at the age of 57. And myself and frequent listener Kathy Kay are crying buckets today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to be having, I'm really not sure. And it sounds like I'm being facetious, but this is like really horrible news. Like it's like he created, I mean, my goodness, I use SpongeBob SquarePants scenes and quotes like in my head or in real life all the time. So, really iconic show. Yes. Plenty of people think it's goofy, and yes, it is just a cartoon, but a really talented guy who created undeniably an icon that has infiltrated like every part of America these days. You can't go anywhere without seeing SpongeBob. So yes, I'm devastatingly depressed because of that, but I will try to muster on and just focus on all of my rage and frustration instead.
Oh, this ought to be fun.
Isn't that good? And with that, I can tell you that we're going to start today's show with a segment on reviewing the last week and a half or so of the Laval Rocket, which was a 4-game road trip of theirs, which was a hot mess. Ooh, gif of the cartoon dog sitting in a room of flames saying, "This is fine." Because that's about what it's like right now. We're going to talk about special teams for Laval, where discipline is going wrong with Laval. We're going to take a look at how Coach Joel Bouchard has reacted during the course of this road trip to the ever-continuing slide that the team once again finds itself in. as well as just give some injury updates and updates on roster movement, because there are faces that are coming and going out of the roster, seems like every day these days. And we're going to wrap up segment one by jumping over to the Flyers organization for a little bit. Yes, we will certainly be touching on the Ron Hextall firing, but if there is also something that is a hot mess, and it is a perennial hot mess each and every year, it is the goaltending situation with the Flyers. This year, maybe not so much for a talent standpoint, but from an injury standpoint, which has just been a nightmare. In the second segment, we're going to, of course, talk about the AHL Player of the Week, and then we're going to take a good look at the league standings and the league points leaders, and kind of break things down. Just take a look at how the league is shaping up now that we've hit that American Thanksgiving marker, where at least people start to gauge how things are going to sort of suss out for the rest of the season. And in particular, take a look at the Phantoms and Laval and see how they stand right now. Before we wrap up the show with an update on what's to come this week and our Rocket Sports Media team's live coverage. So we've got a jam-packed show.
I'm excited. I'm interested.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. And both of our football teams won this weekend.
Vikings, yeah. What up?
They beat the Packers.
Slam the Packers. Sorry,
Blaine.
Slam
them? Ooh. Well, then.
Blaine Pot.
Would those
yeah.
be the same Vikings that my Eagles defeated to make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl in
their
stadium?
About, how long ago was that?
It was this year.
Yeah, last season.
Still this year.
I think you're going to be clinging to the last season for a little while.
When was your last Super Bowl win?
Appearance, did you say?
Yeah, well, my Eagles aren't doing so. I have to cling to it because they've been a dumpster fire this year for the most part, and they managed to eke out a win against the Giants, thank God, but it's playoffs are not a sure thing yet for Philadelphia.
Talk about depression, man. If they had lost that, and it was close, if they had lost that game to the Giants,
it was entirely too close. Entirely too close. It wasn't good.
Do you know what's
but
National Pie Day coming up on Saturday?
National Pie Day? Again, didn't
we haven't had a national pie day
like a month ago?
Well, there's different ones.
I feel like you put in
pie
day like every other week just for your own pie-ness.
Maybe. It's kind of a write-off when it comes to national days. So we haven't talked about it in a while, but coming up on Saturday, National Pie Day.
I had a lot of pie for Thanksgiving.
Tomorrow is National Package Protection Day. That should be every day, I think. But
well, yeah, I would think so. And all of the Christmas shopping I did for Cyber Monday and Black Friday, online, of course, means that all of my packages better be protected as they're being shipped to me.
That's a good way out of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other, you know, stellar national days coming up?
No. No.
What?
No, it's like for Bavarian cream pie day today or something like that. It's not. No.
Well, today we should say, well, you know what? I'm going to save that. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for segment three.
All right.
Hold that thought. I'm coming back to that. Coming back to that in segment three. All right. Well, let's just get down to the brass tacks here. Laval Rocket went on a 4-game road trip, which started about a week and a half ago. And whoo, Nelly, it did not go so well. You know, we remember, Rick, that the first few games of the season, Rocket looked decent. And then, not consistent, but decent. They'd win one, they'd lose one. They'd win one, they'd lose one. Then they went on a really nasty 6-game skid, won three games. Then they lost another one. Then they won another one. And now they have successfully lost five consecutive games again. And not a single point on their four-game road trip in Syracuse, Utica, and two games in Charlotte. At this point in the season, probably not the direction they want to be moving in.
So if we take the same kind of milestone, and that is American Thanksgiving, although the as we talked about, I think we talked about last season how the same metric doesn't really hold as far as American Thanksgiving being a predictor for the playoffs, which it's, you know, around 78% or thereabouts with NHL teams, but it's different because of all the movement, because of all the player movement with injuries and with the trade deadline and all that sort of thing. It's different in the AHL. That said, with Laval finding themselves last in the Northern Division, last in the North, last in the Eastern Conference, and last in the entire league in terms of winning percentage.
Woo-hoo!
Presently.
Wow.
I tweeted the other day that they're at, after 21 games, they have just 7 wins, and that gives them a winning percentage of .381, and that is absolutely last in the 31-team AHL. So, I mean, we talked before about they were off to the worst 10-game start in about 20 years, and obviously after 21 games, this is not what everybody was talking about in the off season with the dream team coming in and handpicking and putting together their own roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go back a little ways to the game that took place. You know, we talk about where they're at in the standings and, you know, they had gone on that little bit of a win streak, and because other teams in the division were also struggling, Toronto was struggling, Utica was struggling for a little while, Syracuse was struggling for a little while. And so for a while there, even as close as about 2 weeks ago, Laval was finding themselves kind of in the middle of the pack in the North Division. And it was okay. Maybe there's some hope there. Let's see if they can get something going. And then they went into Syracuse on Saturday night to start the road trip. They played at home against Bridgeport on Friday night and then turned around, went to Syracuse to play the next night. And things looked to be going pretty well by early in the second period. Laval had a 2-goal lead up 3-1 over Syracuse. And Syracuse, I mean, Rick, we talk about all the time, Syracuse is not an easy building to play in. And couple that with the fact that the Crunch and the Rocket consistently don't like each other. So it's a very, it's always a physical game. There's a lot of agitation and irritation and things like that. And so it's easy to get undisciplined. You have to really focus and play a really strong game. And Laval was doing that. Up 3-0, Chaput had 2 goals. And Ryan Sproul had his first of the year, and 2 of those 3 goals were on the power play, which we're going to talk about special teams in a little bit, but to have 2 power play goals early in the game was miraculous. The power play has been just god awful this season. And then everything just came unhinged, and Syracuse surged back with 5 unanswered goals. Michael Pezzetta, bless his heart, managed to pot his first pro goal late in the third period, kind of went down without much fanfare, but he did get his first pro goal to at least get one more on the board. But Laval ended up losing this game 6-4 after having a 2-goal lead. And wow, was that just something. You and I were there attending that game, and Wow, was that something to behold.
It was. They ran into penalty trouble. There was even a too many men penalty. But it was really, you know, that the Lavelle has been decent until recently, until the road trip, on the penalty kill. At one point, they had the top penalty kill in the league. Now they're down around 10th or 11th, and that's because it just fell apart. Syracuse scored four of seven on the power play in that game. As you said, five unanswered, three goals in the third period. Third periods have been Laval's worst.
Really bad, yeah.
And they just were. I guess it was physical. I think they were beat up a bit. I think that that they lost their composure and they outshot Syracuse in the third period 11-4, but gave up those three goals. It was not the best night for Michael McNiven, but don't think that he could be faulted. At the other end, Ingram was very good, but again, Connor Ingram has been one of the better goalies, but I don't know that he was, terribly tested throughout the whole game either.
No.
So they just looked out of sync, as they have many times this season. A lot of individual efforts and it was a tough loss. In speaking to the players after the game.
Absolutely, it was. In addition to that, of course, we spoke to Joel Bouchard after the game. And if this clip that I'm going to play for you is any gauge as to how bad that game was, this first clip I'm going to play is probably not something that you hear a coach say very often after a loss. But here it is.
But I'm glad we lost. Very happy we lost this game. Lack of focus has been a problem for a while. Guys are working hard. They care. Their focus is off during games. And it's what happened tonight. It's focus on details. It's focus on easy play and the penalty. So all that focus is not there. Their game process gets a little better, but we always seem to take a step back, and sometimes you need to lose this. This is a game changer for me with the players. Because they took it hard, and that's what they deserve.
And that's what they deserve. I must say, the Crunch were auctioning off Hockey Fights cancer jerseys in the background in the rink that night after the game, which is the background noise that you hear there. But a couple of things right there, Rick, from Bouchard's quote that I know, even just standing there interviewing him, was very impactful. A, I'm glad we lost. I'm glad we lost this game. And then to wrap that quote up, the loss is what they deserve. And this, as he said, this for me is a turning point with this team. They took it hard.
Yeah, a lot of things in there, as you mentioned. Him mentioning twice that he was very happy that they lost the game. It's difficult to hear. You want to hear a coach, particularly after a tough loss, protect his players. The players are going to feel bad, and we did talk to the players, and they did feel bad. But to kind of say they deserve the punishment was tough. You wonder if they need a loss to wake them up and get them to pay attention to things. Why is that? Why is it that so early in the season they aren't paying attention to the coach's message without those kind of punishing losses? That was a question that came to me. But it was key, as he went on saying, that this is a game changer. This is, as you said, a turning point for him. It was a game changer as far as his team, and that set up then, okay, now as a coach, how does he handle the team from here on? If that game was a game changer, what changes and how does his approach change with his team?
And he said to us that night that the game plan, they were going to have a number of days between, that was Saturday night, a week and a half ago. So they had until Wednesday night before they needed to play in Utica. And so he said, we're going to take some time. We're going to get back to basics. We're going to get back into some basic things in practice and get some good practices in. He uses the word focus an awful lot about this team lacking a full 60 minutes of focus and needing to find more focus. And so, okay, this was a turning point. You're glad they lost the game if it, in terms of it, you know, maybe waking them up. I tend to agree with you, you know, come April, if you're 2 points out of a playoff spot, I don't know that you're saying that you're glad you lost that one game back there in November, but okay. So they have a few days of practice. They head into Utica on Wednesday night. And again, anyone who's listened to our podcast knows Utica is just as difficult of a building to play in as Syracuse, sometimes more difficult because of how close everything is, the fan energy. It's a beast of a place to play in. And to their credit, Laval, again, came out and looked okay. Not getting a ton of shots, but they were certainly keeping Utica at bay. Utica had 2 shots on goal in the first period. And then the wheels came off with the discipline again. The power play went 0-for-5. Utica was able to score on one of their 5 power play advantages. And so after all of that, they end up losing this one 3-2. So, you know, granted, you can't find solutions with the snap of a finger in 1 or 2 practices. But my first question, Rick, and you know, I know you had plenty to say about that game as well. But my first question to Joel Bouchard was literally on Saturday, you told us Saturday was a turning point. And it's, you know, it's kind of a head scratcher how they can come out and not find a way, no matter what, not find a way to win.
It's you know, it was the return of Thatcher Demko to the Utica lineup for his first game after being out with injury. And Thatcher Demko is the ovation that he received, standing ovation when mm-hmm. you know, his name was announced. He's beloved in Utica, and for being out as long as he was, you know, that the if you just read the score sheet, Laval outshot Utica 9-2. You know, there might be the assumption that Thatcher Demko, an emotional return, and he stood on his head and kept his team in it. It's not what happened.
No.
it's not what happened at all. Talking to our counterparts in Utica, and they said that was the perfect welcome back for Thatcher Demko. He was busy. He was in the game. But no tough saves. Didn't have to make a tough save.
No.
And that's kind of been the story of the season, or one of the stories of the season for Laval is, you know, all kinds of shots on the board, but without much purpose and without any real threat, any real scoring chance created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Laval did everything they could to make it relatively easy for Thatcher Demko to return to the Utica lineup.
But that's not to say, too, that the team and its goaltender didn't have their own reasons to be, you know, really up for this game. First of all, trying to save face after the embarrassment they had on Saturday in Syracuse. But Charlie Lindgren was playing in his 100th AHL game on that same night as well. So, you know, hey, you take motivation wherever you can get it. You want to get that win for Lindgren. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And I'm going to give you a couple of different quotes here. I'm going to do them back to back. From Bouchard after that game, where, again, as I said, I the first thing that we asked him was, okay, Saturday was a turning point, so what do you have to say about this, essentially? And here's a couple of things that he had to say in reaction to this game.
The process of learning. I feel we're a little bit slow learner, some of us, but I'm going to stick with the guy. The effort was there. Just would like that focus to be even better all the time. So it's that grind that makes you better pro, better coaches, that never quitting, going back at it and sticking with it and sticking with it. And I think the game is testing us right now, and it's good. It's good by me. It's making the kid and even the veterans challenge, and they're challenging themselves.
It took me a few times listening to this interview to really kind of pinpoint things that he was saying, because I wasn't getting a clear answer from the first time we listened to it, Rick. And if, as a reminder, if anyone wants to hear the full interviews, we have them on video on the All Habs Hockey Magazine YouTube page, as well as the full audio and all of the game recaps. So if you just head over to ahl.report, you can find all of the posts that have the full videos, as well as the game recaps with the audio. But, you know, there's a couple of things in there. The game is testing them right now, and he's okay with that. Well, the game's been tested. If that's your measuring stick, well, the game's been testing you since puck drop on the beginning of the season. At some point, you know, and he says, oh, well, you know, it's a learning process. And some of us are slower learners than others, I think. But we just have to keep grinding at it and going back and sticking with it. Well, sticking with what? Sticking with something that's not working. I found the clarity on that answer to not really be there.
There was a couple things for me there. You mentioned how he keeps going back to this loss of focus, but was preaching pretty heavily at the beginning of the year about playing with emotion. Lots of times the two are kind of incompatible. If
right.
you're playing with emotion and reacting to the game with emotion, you aren't paying attention to details. You aren't necessarily as keenly focused as you should be. Those two things, for me, incompatible. So it's not a surprise that the loss of focus or the lack of focus has been a problem. The other part is when he calls his team slow, that they're slow learners. That says to me that the message it is, whatever lesson is being delivered, is not being received. If as a teacher, you're coming to the conclusion that your classes are slow learners, they're not learning what you're giving them. Now it could be you have a whole class of slow learners, as Bouchard has said, or could it be something wrong with the communication, the way that the lessons are being taught? Could that also be an issue, why he has a team of slow learners? I think there's reason to believe that it's not all on the players in as is being alleged.
And he has mentioned a couple of times now, you know, the team is made up of players from all over the place. Most of them new to the team, you know, but at this point, you know, we're 6 weeks into the season, more or less. Chemistry needs to start being there. These guys aren't brand new to each other anymore. And the nature of the beast of the AHL is that guys do come from everywhere. And so it's not something you can fall back on. There has to be, you know, a response, and the Rockets show signs of being a good team in flashes, and then it dissipates. There's a lot of times that they look confused. There's a lot of times they look like they're not sure of their positioning, particularly on special teams, which I should mention. Okay, we talked about special teams. Right now, the power play is 28th in the league at 12.5%. And you were correct. The PK is at 11th place in the league at 83.5%, which, sure, that sounds, that's not bad, but it was the top rated penalty kill in the league just a handful of weeks ago. So they have slipped there. So, you know, we spoke to it was kind of a tale of two Bretts that night in Utica. We spoke to Brett Learnout and Brett Kulak after the game. And for Brett Kulak, he had this to say about playing in that game and kind of letting that win slip away.
A couple little breakdowns for us, and I think that's how close it is in this league. Everyone's so good, every team is good, and every player, if you give him a little bit of space out there, he can put the puck in the back of the net. So I thought that's what happened tonight. But.
And Brett Learnout had something similar to say about needing to stay on top of the game for a full 60 minutes.
I mean, sometimes it's a lack of focus, and sometimes it's. I mean, you can't just take a shift off. I mean, every shift has to be hard, and even if the things aren't going your way, you got to bear down and get the puck out or get the puck in, right? And just go to work down low and see what happens from there.
I thought, Rick, that Brett Kulak's one part of his quote was interesting, that he says he basically calls every player in the AHL dangerous, and if you give them even an inch, they're going to take advantage of it. So you can't let up. You can't let up once in your 60 minutes. And Brett Learnout unknowingly echoed that then 5 minutes later by saying, you can't take off a single shift. And go ahead.
No, well, that's just it. You can't take off a single shift. You can't be experimenting. You can't be, letting your emotions get the better with you and losing your focus. The team is to me is lacking structure. Mm-hmm. They seem, when he says a loss of focus, they seem, lost at times, unsure what to do, or individualistic plays so that they aren't supported. It's a real lack of structure. And I think, that fits in kind of with what the coach is saying is that, whatever structure he's preaching, if any, isn't getting through. Mm-hmm. And so there's a loss, and that particularly comes out on the special teams. And you mentioned about the penalty kill, which is now 11th, has dropped from first. So it's interesting though, when you look at that penalty kill, because emotions, if you're a team that plays with emotions or is being preached at to play with emotions, you look at you break down the penalty kill by home and away. Penalty kill at home, where you got the fans behind you and you're pumped up, is fifth. Remember, they're 11th overall. They're fifth at home. On the road, where the emotions may be working against you, 25th. 25th in the league. So I think that whole riding the emotions thing has been more of a detriment to the team. And we talked about the team being having trouble scoring on the other side, the power play. There's no structure there. We all know how poorly this team played last season, but the power play bailed them out most games. It was fifth overall in the season. This year, as you said, it's been absolutely dreadful and they sit 28.
They do. Interestingly enough as well, while there are a couple of defensemen who I've not particularly been impressed with, Maxime LaMarche and Ryan Sproul, to name two, who tend to just not quite always be sure of themselves. I've seen a lot of bad turnovers that turn into goals in their own net, things like that. But defensively, the team... Adam Plant. Oh, dear God, Adam Plant. The blue line isn't a star-studded lineup. However, despite the fact we've talked about where Laval is sitting in the rankings right now, we're talking about how they've been on these multi-game losing streaks. However, they are sixth in the league in goals against, with only 2.81 goals against per game. And they are number one in the league for shots against, only 21.81 shots against. That is the least in the league, which means they're losing quite often with the least amount of shots going against their goaltenders and the sixth least goals against. Those are statistics that need to change.
Well, goaltending hasn't been an issue.
No,
and for anybody
not
who
at
thinks
all.
It is, it's just silly if you think that goaltending's an issue. Charlie Lindgren has been very good, and you know it's why we hear people like Elliot Friedman saying the Florida Panthers are interested, and Charlie Lindgren is very throughout the league is a very highly thought of prospect, goaltending prospect. You know, he hasn't been the issue. Certainly, the lack of goal scoring has really, really hurt the team.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. If I could interject just briefly, right in the middle of your sentence, because their goals for, they're 28th in the league with 2.57 goals for per game. So there you, so go ahead and finish your thought with that.
No, well, I'd support that, and I think this goes back to when you look at the balance of the offense and the defense that for the first two periods they've kind of been they've scored as many goals as they've given up sort of thing in the first two periods. It's been the third period that's really hurt them. And it's the characteristic of that kind of team who's all in on emotion, but not so much on the strategic side or the structure side, and they kind of fall apart in the third. You know, they've certainly outshot. We've talked about that a lot. 16 of the 21 games they've had, they've outshot their opponents. But when they've done that, when they've outshot their opponents, they're 4-11-1. That's not a team who is, when you're outshooting your opponents, there should be a feeling of confidence. There isn't, because their shots are not dangerous, not creating scoring chances. You know, in the third period, they have 231 shots for, 127 against, double almost. That's not a team who dominates. That's a team who's desperate, who's just flinging the puck at the goal. As such, third periods have been tough. They're not scoring overall. They're not scoring. And before anybody jumps in and says, oh yeah, but they don't have Chaput, and they don't have Agostino, and they don't have Kulak.
Welcome to the AHL.
That happens in the AHL, and you have to get used to it. But the other part of that is, all of these things were happening when those three were still part of the Laval lineup.
Absolutely. So, they had this just abysmal game in Syracuse, complete meltdown in Syracuse Saturday, supposed turning point. They go into Utica, they drop that one as well. Then they head into a two-game two games in Charlotte against the top-ranked team in the AHL. There's a challenge for you. And dropped both of them. 4-2 on Saturday, turned around for a 1 o'clock matinee on Sunday, lost that one 3-1. Granted, their effort was a little better on Sunday. Saturday was, they had a total of 16 shots on goal for the entire game. 6 in the first, 2 in the second, 8 in the third. They were just not there. And Charlotte was just running roughshod right over them. Sunday they came back with a little bit more oomph, and at least gave Charlotte a little bit of a run up for their money. But at least, you know, second period they outshot them 11-2. But again, it's not those dangerous shots, even with their backup goaltender Callum Booth in the net. So 4 games, 4 losses, 5 straight losses. And now they have a 3-game homestand to look forward to this week with some divisional play. And it's not been a pretty picture, Rick. They need to find a way to win this week, and they need to find a way to win a lot.
It's what's interesting is that. This coach came in with a lot of fanfare, I don't think he has been necessarily held up to the microscope the way the past regime has. And one of the things that he stressed was that this was going to, first of all, was that he and Marc Bergevin completely turned over the roster. We've spoken about it before. That just a handful of players remain from last year's team, and handpicked the players they wanted, and stressed that winning, this development stuff is all fine and well. Yeah, that's great. However, the best way to develop is to win. So we're going to have a winning team, and winning is going to be, contribute to our development. And I don't know that they're getting either this season, certainly not in the first 21 games. All of this emphasis on winning hasn't produced the results.
And this week they're facing 3 different teams in 3 different games at home. They've got to find a way to start winning. As you say, the results just haven't been there. And I agree. I think because of all the fanfare of the new coaching staff coming in and the amount of player personnel turnover that they did over the summer, perhaps people are a little hesitant to be as critical as they were with Sylvain Lefebvre, because Lefebvre had been there for quite some time. It was easier to get down on him when the team wasn't doing well, but it shows on the ice. It shows at the end of every game. And at some point, something's got to give. For better or for worse, something's got to give. And we will, towards the end of the show, we'll talk about where they, who they will be facing, this week as we give you a preview of the week ahead. Right now, however, we are going to take a breath, because that was a lot of statistics to get through, but some really good information in there, Rick. Thanks so much for all of your analysis in there, and kind of the analyzing those numbers and statistics and really helping to give our listeners a really good big picture look at where the issues are and where things really stand with this team so far this season. So we're going to take a breath. We're going to grab a drink of water during this commercial break, and then we will be back. We will talk about some things that are going on with the Flyers, because they are in the news again. And then we'll kind of talk a little bit about things that are going on in the rest of the AHL. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
For all the latest news, interviews, analysis, and commentary about the Laval Rocket, Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and every other team in the American Hockey League, as well as information on prospects, junior hockey, and international hockey, head over to AHL.report, the home of the AHL Report. Follow along on Twitter at the AHL Report for live game updates, ringside photography, game recaps, and articles containing exclusive audio and video of your favorite players. That's the AHL Report, proud partner of Rocket Sports Media, AHL.report. From the Press Box is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
One thing, Rick, I think we should also mention, not that most Habs fans know this already, but before we move on to some Flyers news, is that Carl Alzner did clear waivers today, so he will report to the Laval Rocket. And as Cap Friendly says, he is now the highest salary player on an NHL contract currently in the AHL at $6 million for this season. So, hey, there's a contract for you.
On the positive side.
Yes.
Let's first say that Carl Alzner has handled this whole thing with a lot of class. You know, he was surprised as I was, and I'm sure as Nikita Sherbak was, that for them to start the season in the press box. Carl Alzner had a pretty decent training camp, and certainly a whole lot better than Jordy Benn. But memories are long, and Carl Alzner did complain about the defensive system that was being used last season. It seems that he's paying the price for that. Does he still have something in the tank? Sure does, and could probably contribute to some team on the third pairing. He's not going to get that chance likely in Montreal unless they trade away a Schlemko or a Jordy Benn. But now he gets to go to Laval, and I expect there's going to be some bitterness, sure, but I expect he'll have a good attitude, and love to see him paired with Brett Lern out and see,
yes, please.
You know, yeah, I mean, Carl Alzner, we forget that Noah Juulsen gives an awful lot of credit to Carl Alzner and talks about how much he learned from Alzner last season in his introduction to the NHL. And now with Alzner in Laval, perhaps he can pass on some of that knowledge to the crew down there that, as you said, is doing pretty well, but might be able to get some of that wisdom from an NHLer.
Absolutely, and it's still to be determined whether or not he will play in tomorrow night's game in Laval. So we will keep listeners and followers posted on that as we learn more. Switching gears, though, over now to the Philadelphia Flyers organization, and I don't know what is the bigger source of consternation on Flyers Twitter this week, whether it's Ron Hextall getting the door, which honestly came as a very big surprise to me. I would have thought that Hextall would have been first out the door, but perhaps we'll get into that in a little bit, or the never-ending goaltender drama in Philadelphia. This year, it is that they can't keep a goaltender healthy to save their skin. Guys are up, down, injured, not injured. They come back for a game, they're injured again. There's just, my goodness, goaltender roulette, both for the Flyers and for the Phantoms. And because of all the injuries for the Flyers, the Phantoms goalie situation is constantly changing. I mean, it is, Rick, it's just, I don't know which one we should start with. Perhaps we should start with the goaltenders and leave Ron Hextall for the second. So Alex Lyon, I believe, has now been sent back to the Phantoms again after Stolarz had to be called up to the Flyers because Lyon got injured in pregame warm-up, I think, a couple of games ago, that game where he let in 4 goals in the first period, apparently tweaked something in warm-up. And it's just been a never-ending... I mean, this is always a problem with the Flyers. The goaltending has never been solid in Philly. But this year, the injuries are just getting ridiculous.
And it goes, it goes back a lot further than that. But I kind of started paying attention to it when Laviolette was, pulling guys in and out of the line and said he didn't care. He didn't care about goalies' feelings or anything else. Philly has just this bad reputation with harming goaltenders, and Holmgren that's now in charge. Let's not forget what he did with the goaltending situation. He was the one that got rid of Bobrovsky and brought in Steve Mason. So I don't know if you want to put all your trust in what he's going to do in this interim until they get a new general manager in place. But and we haven't even talked about Calvin Pickard, who, I thought that was a great move. That was a brilliant move, picking him up on waivers, and he's been pretty good. And we heard
until he played his former team.
but we heard Don Cherry just roast the Flyers for doing that to Calvin Pickard. Putting a forward, a skater in that situation is one thing, but as Don Cherry said, putting a goaltender in that situation in his old building and all that was a recipe for disaster. And part of that was that the Flyers have been struggling as it is. So it was not a great situation, but and now all the talk about, well, if Hextall had only brought up Carter Hart,
no,
saved his job. Yeah, Carter Hart is going to be a very good goaltender, and he's struggled. He's had a hard time adjusting to the AHL, and some nights or some periods he looks very good, and other times he doesn't. Self-admission, he says, sometimes he falls asleep.
Yeah, that's true.
he's going to be very good. He's not anywhere there yet. He needs a lot of games to get there, and to put him into the hothouse situation in the Wells Fargo right now would be a disaster. And the Flyers have ruined goaltenders in the past. You don't want to do that with someone with the caliber of a Carter Hart, because he's the guy for the future. And I think in that respect, protecting him the way Hextall did was absolutely the right move.
Absolutely. And if there is one thing that Ron Hextall has done very well over the past few years, is stock the farm and plan for the future. And as most know, he was unceremoniously let go yesterday. Paul Holmgren and other management held a press conference earlier today to discuss the philosophical differences that led to Hextall being the one shown the door instead of Dave Hextall. And, Rick, it sounded a little bit as if maybe – I feel, and I think a lot of Flyers fans also feel, that Hextall did a solid job drafting and planning down the road and getting the farm team well stocked, and even beyond that with junior prospects and so forth. But perhaps that wasn't moving quickly enough for those in upper management. And that, coupled with the coaching situation, I guess spelled disaster for Mr. Hextall and kind of took us all by surprise.
Yeah, Hextall had inherited a pretty big mess, and we saw one of the writers online today compare said the closest person to a Mike Milbury as a GM was Holmgren. That's pretty harsh, but had the, you know, he made some like maybe missed horribly, spectacularly, and so Hextall coming in had to, yes, the drafting was good, the rebuilding of the farm system was very good, you know, he was very, very patient, and today in the news conference, Holmgren said that Ron had his plan and he was sticking to it. I don't really see anything wrong with that. But I think we got the peek behind the curtain when David Scott, the CEO of Comcast, came in and said, I'm not interested in what someone can do for me 2 or 3 years down the road. I want to know what can be done now, to improve this team. And when asked, what would they be looking for in the next GM, it was David Scott who said, I want a bias for action and making things happen. So clearly they were frustrated with Hextall's patience, with his kind of measured approach, not unlike what the Winnipeg Jets have done. The Winnipeg Jets didn't build their team through spectacular free agent signings or anything like that. They just did everything the right way. If the Flyers maybe were kind of along that path and a year or two removed from that, I think that with empty seats starting to show and the grumbling that was going on the fan base, the Comcast people just got a little too nervous, couldn't wait for that plan to be fully implemented and developed, and pulled the trigger on Hextall.
So the question is, will we see McClellan or Quenneville behind the bench in Philly?
That's a really good question, but that's all going to depend on who it is that they bring in as the GM, because they did say that the new GM will have free rein to hire his own coach. It wasn't a very strong bit of support for Dave Hextall, not at all. It sounds like you're going to see a whole new regime, maybe not right away, but eventually in Philadelphia. And certainly in the case of Joel Quenneville, I was just talking about this with a scout last week, that he sits back and he waits for all the offers to come in and he picks the best one. He's got his pick of the litter. He can wait a couple months. He can wait a year, and he's going to get it. He's going to get a boatload of money. He's going to get lots of control, and he's going to go to a team where he feels he has a chance to make an immediate impact. He's not going to go to a rebuild situation. Quenneville's going to be the one who, and Todd McClellan to a lesser extent. But he could be an interesting fit with the Flyers.
My vote for the new GM.
All right.
I have a vote for who the new GM should be.
Nice.
Gritty.
Uh huh.
I think, you know, just make Gritty the GM. He's bombastic. He's unpredictable. He's certainly biased towards action. I think he could be a really solid choice.
And so you won't have a team who goes 2 months without having a major penalty or a fight, right? With Gritty as a GM.
No, I don't think so. Turning to the rest of the AHL, Rick, Well, first, let's have some good news. We just actually, you were just mentioning Connor Ingram, the goaltender from the Syracuse Crunch. And it turns out, again, I feel like I say this every week, it's always somebody that the Rocket suffered against in the last week or so. Connor Ingram is this week's CCM AHL Player of the Week. Won all three of his starts last week, allowing a total of 4 goals on 90 shots. Went 3-0-0 with a 1.33 goals against and a .956 save percentage for the week. So that's pretty good. Those are pretty good numbers.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
And talking to a scout who was had pretty positive things to say about Connor Ingram, was pretty impressed with him. In the game that Syracuse played the night before, and then again when they played Laval.
Congratulations to him, CCM AHL Player of the Week. Maybe we can get next week's Player of the Week not be someone that the Laval Rocket are going to play this week. Maybe. But looking at the standings in general, Rick, starting with divisionally in the North Division, as you mentioned, Laval Rocket sits in last place in the North Division, 2 points behind the Toronto Marlies, who are not having a stellar season, that's for sure, and 10 points behind the division leader, which is the Rochester Americans, who are sitting at the number one spot with 26 points and a 12-5-2 record. Rochester just really continuing to surge. Syracuse, however, has crept within 3 points of them. So they've turned their season around here in the last few weeks and are really, really getting things together. For the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, they're sitting at 5th place in the Atlantic Division with actually tied for 4th place with 22 points. The Charlotte Checkers, 33 points. So far on the season, number one in the Atlantic Division. And let's see, are they still number one? And still number one in the league by 4 points. So they are quite the force to be reckoned with in that division. But the Phantoms are just 11 points behind them and just 1 point out of third place. So still very respectable numbers for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Hershey Bears finding themselves again, not doing well this year, currently in 8th place, in last place in the Atlantic Division, with only 19 points and a 9-10-0-1 record. So far, yet another team that changed coaching staff after having an abysmal season last year, who so far the team has not responded.
So how do you get like that? How do you get a team that performs well and that's successful and develops well? How do you do that? Because it's I've listened to Mark Bergevin, and he says it's really hard. I mean, this is not PlayStation, people. This is really hard stuff. How do you get to be like the Charlotte Checkers? How do you get a guy like Rick Dudley, who's you know, when given free rein, has done an amazing job in Charlotte in putting that team together? How do you get a guy like Rick Dudley that the Canadians had in their organization and didn't listen to him? He moved on
and let him go. Yeah.
Yeah.
If only we had someone like Rick Dudley.
Yeah. How do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you get a guy like Zach Redmond, who as best defenseman by far in the AHL this season, 22 points, third overall in scoring. How do you get a guy like that? Zach Redmond, he's got 6 game winners, 6 game winning goals. Zach Redmond, a defenseman with 13 goals. He's second in the league in goals, and he's a defenseman. How do you get a guy like that? What would you have to trade to get a guy like that on your team?
Or a guy like Dan Carr, for that matter.
Yeah, Zach Redmond, who was given up for Nicholas Deslauriers, who has done nothing for the Montreal Canadiens since January. Dan Carr, yeah, another one, who's fallen down a bit. He's a couple points back in the scoring race. Is that because his play's gone down? No, it's because he got recalled by Las Vegas, and he's playing on the third line in Vegas because he was just so on such a scoring streak. He is a plus 18. We talked about that last time we were here. Chris Terry, who, you know, it doesn't look like he's getting any power play time, but still is third in the league in goals scored. You know,
and 20th overall as a points for points.
Yeah. So when you come in and you build your own roster and you make decisions about who you're going to exclude or who you're going to trade away, these kinds of things have consequences. Right now, Laval cannot score. They cannot score. They cannot score on the power play. And how nice would it be to have a Chris Terry on the power play? How nice would it be to have Daniel Carr, you know, lighten it up? How nice would it be to have Zach Redmond manning, quarterbacking your power play? Do you think the team would be still in last place overall in winning percentage if it had Chris Terry, if it had Zach Redmond, if it had Daniel Carr? I don't believe so.
Don't think so. Don't think so.
Matt Taramina has had a slow start, but he leads the league in shootout game winners. Jarabic is up there in terms of shooting percentage. These are all players who were discarded and other players were with the wisdom were selected. We have a general manager type guy in terms of Dudley who was discarded. We have a Vaughn Carpen who was dispatched to Vegas, and he had the foresight to pick up a Daniel Carr, these are the kind of mistakes that you make in the real world. No, it's not a PlayStation game, but it's not as difficult as Marc Bergevin has been making the job look.
I mean, even Kirby Reichel has 17 points so far this season. Just saying. Oh, and what did they get back for all of those? You mentioned Nicholas Deslauriers, but you know.
Oh.
Given away a lot of talent and not getting it back. We're going to let you chew on that for just a moment. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to wrap things up and take a look at the week ahead. And hey, I'm sure there's plenty in store for the Laval Rocket this week, so let's find out what they're doing and who they're going to be playing right on the other side of this break, so don't go anywhere.
Be sure to follow us on social media. Find us on Twitter at the AHL Report. Check out our original game photography on Instagram at AHL Report and watch our exclusive video interviews with players, coaches, and other notable hockey names on our YouTube channel at All Habs. Just remember to turn on notifications so that you never miss a video. The AHL Report, your premier source for Laval Rocket, Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and all American Hockey League news. From the Press Box is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com.
So this week, Rick, we said, okay, been five games, losing streak, at a road trip was just awful. So now they come back home again. And they were on the road, it seemed, a lot in November. They'll be home a lot in December. And so they start with three games at home this week. They're playing Belleville tomorrow night. They'll play Lehigh Valley on Friday night and Utica on Saturday night. So two divisional rivals and one who is pretty good at scoring a lot of goals. None of them may be the Charlotte Checkers, but I think Laval is still going to be quite tested this week.
Yeah, we talked about Laval not scoring goals. Lehigh Valley does score goals, and they have three Phantoms in the top 15. They had four in the top 20 at one point during this year, but Verone is second, Carey fourth, TJ Brennan has been very good. Yeah, that's going to be a tough test against Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley's had trouble keeping the puck out of their net, but with Laval not scoring, that might not be a problem that night. Utica always plays tough when they go into Laval, and Belleville mm-hmm. is that natural, along with the Marlies, that natural rival, and those games are intense. So. It's not going to be easy for them to, end this five-game losing streak that they've been on so far.
So, again, that's Wednesday night, Friday night, and Saturday afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock game. We'll, of course, have full recaps of all of those games, including audio. Our writer, Chris G., will be on the ground at Plus Bell, covering those games, as well as myself and the AHL report and Rick over at All Habs. So be sure you're following in all the right social media places. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of lineups Laval will have this week. When will Carl Alsner slot in? Cale Fleury, as of last week, was still day-to-day with an injury. They'll be looking to maybe get him back sometime soon. And other than that, the fourth line has been a bit of a line blender as far as who's a healthy scratch and who's not. Daniel Audette has sat out healthy a few times this season already. He made it into the lineup in the first game against Charlotte and had a actually decent game, and then ended up being a healthy scratch the next night in exchange for Hayden Verbeek. So it seems like Verbeek, Audette, Pezzetta are the guys that kind of keep rotating. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup Joel Bouchard puts together for this week. It'd be nice if they could find some consistency there.
For sure. We had Pezzetta and Wakehead together on that fourth line. That was a bit of a troublemaking line and hard hitting line. But Pezzetta's played well at times, and as you said, Audette has contributed here and there. It's just none of it is done with consistency. And. And a lot of times the guys are just missing structure. They do look lost out there.
So be sure to follow along at the AHL Report on Twitter. You can also go online to ahl.report. You'll see all of our full game recaps with statistics, video highlights, audio from post-game scrums with key players and the coach. All of your information, including the live game action and updates that you'll get on Twitter as well. So be sure you're following along. Now, I did promise you one thing at the beginning of the show, Rick. I said that you were mentioning a couple of okay national days of the week, but I said that there was one that I was going to come back to at the end. And we've had Black Friday, we've had Cyber Monday, and what has started a couple of years ago is that today is now typically known as Giving Tuesday, where after all sorts of shopping and spending for Christmas over the course of the last 4 days, that encouraging folks to perhaps take some time out on the Tuesday after Cyber Monday to give back and help some charitable causes. And I think that fits in perfectly for this final week and this big final push for our Movember initiative. Do you want to tell our listeners about how they can help us out and achieve our goals with Movember?
Well, the stash is coming in real nice right about now. You know, it takes a few weeks, but yeah, it's coming in nice. And we got a few of our team members who have chosen that route to grow the stash. Others are in the Move Challenge, and as a team overall, so far have moved 146 kilometers. In the cash side, we've raised $375. In the last week, we'd certainly love to get that real close to $500 as donation from our team to help. So if you want to help out, if you can help out, this is a real good cause. Go to Movember, movember.com, movember.ca, and look for the All Habs Hockey Magazine page. Just search for All Habs on the Movember site. You'll find us there, and we've got about, I think, eight of our staff members who have joined the challenge this year and are busy raising money. We'd really like your help with that.
We would love your help with that. It's a very good cause. You know, men's health is very important. It is just as important as a lot of the other causes that perhaps get a little bit more recognition and notoriety and visibility throughout the year. But men's health, whether it's cancer, whether it's depression and suicide or mental health awareness or just anything related to men's health, it's very important. And we would love to be able to make a nice big contribution to the Movember campaign. So every dollar counts. And if that's all you can donate is a dollar, we will very much appreciate your dollar. It'll go to a good cause. So be sure to hop over to the website before November is up, and at the very least, reward these guys for growing some great stashes, because they all look pretty good. They all look pretty good. And Rick, with that, I think that brings us to the end of our show for this week.
It's game night for the Montreal Canadiens against the Laval Rocket played the Charlotte Checkers tonight. For the Canadiens, it's their affiliate, the Carolina Hurricanes. And we've got some Laval Rocket coverage. We've got some Phantoms games. We're going to be busy all week and have lots to tell you again next Tuesday.
Absolutely. And Keith, you know, you just mentioned that Laval just got done playing Charlotte and that now the Habs will be playing the Hurricanes tonight. Jake Bean has been called up and he will be making his NHL debut for the Hurricanes tonight. If you've watched Jake Bean play at the AHL level at all, you'll know that he's a guy you got to watch out for. So it'll be fun to watch him make his NHL debut tonight and see if the Habs can contain him. Be sure to follow along with us. Meet us right back here next Tuesday for another great episode of From the Press Box. In between now and then, follow along on Twitter. Get involved with the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. But until then, enjoy hockey this week. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we will see you back here next Tuesday for another great episode of From the Press Box right here at the AHL Report.
And keep on wishing. Remember you.